Welcome to DT Madness, Chronicles from the Third Life, episode 88, April 27th, 2024. So glad you could make it. What did the guy say about, what did Jerry Seinfeld say about his show? It's a show about nothing. Yeah, I feel that. A lot about nothing maybe here on episode 88 of The Madness. But good Saturday morning to you. So just some random thoughts to get it going, and then maybe a transition into a new segment maybe. Here on the podcast, I might have said this, I think I did, over 3,000 listens now. That really is amazing, and I really appreciate those of you who consistently not only listen but reach out and even text some during while you're listening. Yeah, that's pretty cool. A couple of things that just kind of gave me some feels this week as we begin to wrap up the school year and, you know, another season, so-called, of life comes to whatever is next up kind of thing, you know. But we watch Big Bang Theory. I mean, like, it is the background noise, the background show of our lives. It's a phenomenal show. I wasn't sure about it at first. I like the Cosby Show. Like, the Cosby Show is what this was for me. I know the issues with Bill Cosby, and I understand why they took the show down and you can't really stream it from anywhere anymore. But the show itself, the art itself was really good and uplifting and funny, you know. And I've liked other TV shows as well, but Big Bang Theory is really way up there on the list. All of the characters are really interesting and funny, and but there's real things that they talk about. The actors are really good and actresses. But there's a scene where Sheldon is going to, they're throwing a birthday party for him, and he goes in and it's a surprise party, and he gets really overwhelmed and has a semi panic attack and has to run back, and he's sitting in his bathroom on the shower with his periodic table shower curtain. We had one of those for a minute. And it ends up being Penny that comes in to talk to him, and he explains what happened, that everything kind of swirled out of control there for a second. And the first thing that she says in such a convincing way is, "I get that." And then she proceeds to sit down and talk to him and tell him how she knows who he is. You know, she knows who he is, but she also understands the limitations that we have. She understands the struggles that we go through. And just that, "I get that," that recognition of another, man, it's a real thing. Maybe the most valuable thing. What do you think, Good? Are you listening? That recognition of another, the most valuable thing, is that the most important step we can take? Kind of similar, my friends Matthew, Martin, Mateo, and Topher were out at Sphere Las Vegas. There's a debate about whether it's Sphere or the Sphere, but I don't have any trouble with that because I can go to Walmart or the Walmarts, you know. Either way, I know what you're talking about. But they were out there for the fish shows this past week. Which, wow. But there's a song that I've been looking for. It's an instrumental. They usually play it in what is called Mike's Groove, kind of in the middle of it. And it's an instrumental called "I Am Hydrogen." And I've heard Mike's song and Weekapaw Groove a few times. I mean, more than a few times over the past couple of years since I've really been jumping into Fish Tour. But they never put the hydrogen in there. I'm not mad about what they did play, because it's always been phenomenal, but the hydrogen just has It's just got this, and they didn't play it in between the mic groove at Sphere. They dropped it in at a standalone place, like just out of nowhere. This beautiful melodic, just it's got the I'm telling you. But I told them that I probably would have melted and maybe cried my own tears if I would have been there to hear that. And Toast said, yeah, they talked about how I probably wouldn't talk to them for a while after that, which made me glad because they know me, they recognize me, and were thinking about that, while they're in the midst of all that magic and glory that was Sphere. Fish, Sphere's fish. Yep. I'm hopped up on coffee already this morning. I bought some Ethiopia brand from Hannah's Coffee Shop. Been making it here at the house, trying to save some dollars here and there. And sorry if you heard the little swish, but I can't help it when I drink coffee or anything bitter like that. It's the back of the tongue that I really enjoy. It's another weird thing about me. But man, Good came into my class the other day, on Friday maybe, and we were reviewing, going over some stuff. And he comes in and stops the whole class, and he's looking at my AP government, GOPO, government and politics class, and he just tells them all that they better listen to me and that I'm whatever, wise and such as this. Like all these things, Good gets to exaggerating sometimes, hyperbolizing sometimes. And but he came in because he had just talked with another one of his colleagues who has said she was feeling past burnt out. And he came in to say that he had told her something that he learned from me when he was 16, because Good was in my class. That's one of the things that's, I talked about my white arm hairs maybe last week, but it's one of the signals that I've got some years on me. Is now my students are teaching my own kids. And but Good recalled things I had told him about things in psychology, but also about a Wendell Berry poem, the Mad Farmer Liberation Front, and the inspiration for much of my tattoo, the idea of planting sequoias. And he talked to my students about that. And I don't know. Did I blush? Is that a thing? I know my face turned red and I got really embarrassed, which I normally wouldn't. And I honestly think if it would have been a different class, if it would have been a different group of students, because these students that I'm teaching in that first period are really brilliant. Like they're brilliant and they are dedicated and they have desire to learn, not just desire for grades. And I have a great deal of respect for those kids. And so like that they yeah it was a weird thing, but again, like, man, pretty good way to end the week with my guy who I've been thinking about getting into yoga, and I think I am gonna get into yoga. I'm down, man. I'm really, like I said last week, crushing the health situation, and back down to some manageable pounds, lower than I've been in quite a bit, and still shooting for maybe another 10, but wanting to firm up a little bit too. So I think yoga is going to be the thing. I've been getting back into yard work also, of course, with the spring coming along. We only have a push mower. We've gone back and forth through different mowers through the year, but our yard isn't that big, and also it's got stuff in it like trampolines and fire pits, and so you need to be able to maneuver. But the side shooter, you know what I'm talking about? The side shooter that shoots the grass clippings out, it doesn't connect on with anything other than some plastic. I don't even call them hooks. I mean, they're like ewes, and they go in onto the little bar, that's on the side there. And so if you go around a bush, if you brush it even just lightly, the thing comes off, which then you have to turn the mower off. I know better, which you'll know about in a minute. I know better because, and so I turn the mower off, and then put the thing back on and then crank it back up. But this past time I was mowing around a bush and I guess I didn't notice that it had come off, and it must have been a thing where I had to lift the mower up to get onto some high grass or over some sticks or a stump or something like that, like a tree root. And I just chewed that side shooter thing up, like, man. So I don't have a side shooter anymore now. It's all mulch style from here on. So I got to get on the grass before it gets too high, which I guess would be good incentive. But also, I can just probably buy a new side shooter. Today is the day. I wanted to go ahead and do the podcast now because I'm delaying getting out there and trimming the bushes and doing the weed eating. And I got my Black and Decker system, with my 20 volt. Is that what they are? They're right here. Yeah, 20 volt lithium batteries, and it goes onto my blower, which I keep back here with me in the nook because it's special to me. I've got a leaf trimmer. I've got a weed eater. Don't I have another thing? I can't remember, but I like that. I like the interchangeable battery system. But of course, a couple of years ago, I don't know, man. It's been 4 or 5 or maybe even 6. I always know that it's this time of year when it gets to be time to trim the bushes, because a couple of years ago I was doing it, and I mean, 2 hours, man, just really getting into it, doing work, like doing serious yard work. And at the very end, I got the electric hedge trimmers, and I try to go one-handed to get around and get an angle, but I was 2 hours in, I guess, and I wasn't paying attention, and instead I chopped my ring finger off, the tip of my ring finger. And yeah, it's still like that. Like I can't press down on guitar strings with that thing anymore. It hurts. There's a little divot in there, and it was a compound fracture, which they said I would, if I didn't keep it clean, I would get the bone rot, which bone rot sounds like a pretty awesome death metal band. It probably already is. But I just remember because this is right before I go down to the to do AP reading, and I was going to Tampa, and I had to fly with this big splint on my finger and make sure to keep it clean and hold it up the whole time while I was reading AP psych exams, and that's coming up too. Now I do it online, just because I don't have to travel, and I can make more money doing it online because there isn't a set number of hours that I have to work. So I just log on and score all day long. I log on and grade all day long. So yeah, I'm about to do that, and excited because next week is the last week of AP preparation, and then a week from Monday, AP government happens, and then Tuesday, AP seminar, and then the following Thursday is AP psychology, and Sydney has her chemistry exam on Monday, and Isaac has his human geo on the Tuesday, and then we'll be kind of cruising towards the end. Although we thought tennis was over, but it isn't. I'm scheduled to go see the Ballroom Thieves in Greenville with my guy Rory. Really was looking forward to it, except for we found out that we are going to get a wild card bid into the dual team tennis tournament because our RPI, our power rankings or whatever, were good enough. We're 21. We're ranked 21, and 32 people get in, 32 teams. And so we're going to be doing tennis on Wednesday now. So that's a thing, and I'm excited about that. But I do hate to miss the Thieves and Rory. Although, honestly, it may be a benefit because I'm pretty sleepy. I'm definitely a morning person now. I recognize that. Like I love to get up in the morning, and I'll get so much stuff done in the morning. Evenings, man, I'm in bed sometimes 8 o'clock, but definitely by 8:30, I'm beat. So yeah, I don't know how a Wednesday night concert would work. Oh man, I'm waiting to a couple more things before we transition, but I've the, listening to the Phish sh shows from this from Sphere the Sphere. Wow, it always does it. I mean, anytime I'm listening to the music, I'm always thinking about where am I going to be able to see them next. And we've got Deer Creek tickets, and there's some other ones that are somehow in proximity to Deer Creek, which is in Indianapolis area, Noblesville, There's a St. Louis show, but that one's tricky because Sarah is going with me to Deer Creek, and so if I went over to St. Louis to see my guy Topher and David, then I'd have to come back from St. Louis to pick up Sarah before we headed up to Indianapolis. I know these are just tragic problems. But yeah, so the rumors for the fall tour, there's an Alpharetta rumor out there for October. And so I'm hoping that maybe they'll drop a Charlotte and a Raleigh in there as well. And if that's the case, then I'll just, yeah, that'll be amazing. That'll be great. Those dates won't be announced until the end of June. So I'm going to hold out. I'm going to hold out. But if at the end of June that those rumors don't come true, then I'm going to seriously start looking at potentially how can I get to Boston or Connecticut. And I know I have a fishing problem, but it's better than the problems I've had in the past. But so yeah, we'll see what happens. And there's always the potential that I'll just really hold out, and maybe me and David will hit up the Madison Square Garden once again. We'll check it out. But let's up before I was almost about to hit the division to head to what will be a second half. But we could just say this. I just want to let you know that my move goals did come unstuck, and I just messed around on my Apple Watch. I don't know if that helped or not, or if it just happened. But yeah, I got off of 309 and now up to 320, poised for 321. When I get to 365, I get that special badge, and that is something I'm looking forward to. I mean, a lot of the reason for the podcast, it's been my therapy. It makes me feel like I have a lot of relationships because it's like I'm talking to people here, and that's delusional, but it's my delusion, so I'm gonna have it. But a lot of it is just maybe for posterity, I think. I do intend to do some writing, and I hope that it's there. And maybe I'm going to go back and just listen to every single podcast. I've got most of the documents typed up anyway, but in case my kids were wondering or my grandkids were wondering about things I thought about or things that I did, I don't know. Again, maybe they will, maybe they won't. Maybe in 30 years I'll want to know if I make it 30 years, but. The tricky part is I've got to keep paying for this Podbean service, although I can go to an archive plan if I want to continue to listen to this. But anyway, one of the things that I think about is just telling my stories, telling stories, which may end up helping me write the chapters, you know, of whatever memoirs are coming up. But this one, you know, and I can't really talk about, I can't get into the full details of my widespread panic days. I'm just going to have to write those. There are things I don't want to say out loud for this particular audience at this particular time because, you know, but this one, another chapter I thought about is just going out west. And, you know, what is it, a Tom Waits song that Widespread Panic covers, Going Out West Where the Winds Blow Tall. And I've just thought about my, I've had an affection for out west for all of most of my life. For whatever reason, I chose to do Colorado for my state booklet in fourth grade. We did a state booklet as we were doing whatever, US geography or something. And I chose Colorado, and I just remember that my dad made a cover for me. Like he routed out on a wooden, he created like wooden front cover. Maybe it was a back cover, maybe it was just a front cover, but he routed out, you know, the state of Colorado and then wrote Colorado in there as well with the router. And man, I don't know. If that one's up in the attic, that would be something. My mom's always saying, "See, aren't you glad I save all this stuff?" And you know, that would be something that would be cool to if I could find that Colorado state booklet to hang up somewhere. But I've always just been fascinated with out west. Maybe it was because of, or you know, also related to that every the afternoon games when I was younger tended to be the Broncos. Sunday afternoon games tended to be the Broncos, and that's the old school orange and blue with John Elway as quarterback, and they were winning. They would usually get trashed in the Super Bowl, but they were winning. So of course, I'm typically a front runner, except for I'm a Cubs fan. But I love that orange and blue, and maybe that's part of why I liked Out West as well. But then it wasn't until when I was a junior, the summer after my junior year, which is weird to think that that is where Sydney is now. But that's when we went to Frontier Ranch with Young Life, and we took a bus trip out. We took a charter bus out with our friends. We didn't know them at the time, but this group from Southern Pines, and Sid Bradshaw and Trey, I believe, and Maddie, I don't know who all went out there, but it was a group of Crest High School kids and Shelby High School kids, and then some ones from Southern Pines. I remember Rocky, his name was Rocky Rhodes, and he was a real character. And Mike and Tyson and Trista, man, what a group. We still keep up with some of those people and did for a little while, consistently. There was a heat wave. It was the summer of 95, and there was a heat wave that summer, and I just remember we were smelling rough because I think the air conditioner on the bus went out. And so we had to stop off and take showers at a Y, maybe in St. Louis. I know we saw the arch. We did some other touristy things, like go to this cowboy restaurant where they give you a tie, but then they cut it off. And I don't know why I remember that. I don't really remember a whole bunch of other touristy things that we did on the way out or on the way back. It was mostly just being on the bus. But we got to Frontier Ranch, and man, it was just an amazing camp. I loved going to Windy Gap here in North Carolina, and I remember, it was frisbee golf there. They didn't have the discs. It really was, you were playing with frisbees, but I just remember one hole, if you threw it, it would go all the way down into the valley if you angled it wrong. I guess they just accounted for that, and maybe somebody went down to the bottom of the mountain and picked those up and brought them back up once in a while. I remember rappelling and this one girl getting her hair stuck, and the rumors were that she ended up with third degree sunburn because it took so long for them to get her down with her. I don't know if that seems unlikely, at that point, don't you just cut the hair anyway? But yeah, I mean, like those kinds of things. The clubs were really fun. I remember one of my friends smuggled in some rum. I wasn't that guy yet, and so I wasn't partaking of that, although I think we did. No, I think that was the other guy that brought some cigars in. But anyway, so stupid kids, but just beautiful, man. Just beautiful. We hiked up to whatever peak it was. I don't know if it was Pikes Peak. I don't know what it was out there, but just snow-capped mountains in July. Foolish 17-year-old boys who thought we were there, and so we started sprinting, only to realize it was a bluff, and so we're completely gassed. But we did make it to the top, and just the panoramic views, the idealism of youth, man, the sunsets up there. Oh, it's just beautiful. It really is just a whole different kind of beauty. I love North Carolina. The second time I got to go out was with Dr. Coates when all my first freshman year at no, my second freshman year, my first freshman year at Gardner Webb. I took an outdoor adventures class, and like we would learn to canoe in the lake at Gardner Webb, which was funny because we didn't want to fall out because the lake was so gross. But we did rappelling, and we did those types of things in that class. And then the culmination was we were able to go on a trip out west to work at the national parks, and we hitched up a wagon to a 15 passenger van, and we rolled into Maryville, Tennessee, to meet up with the other part of the group that was going. I can't remember that professor's name. I can see his face at this moment, but I can't remember his name. But yeah, we made some friends there. We stopped along the way. We stopped at the Badlands and camped, like in a tent. Me and my tent partner's name was Chris, and we had to put our tents up, and we had to take them down, and we had duties like washing the dishes or cooking or whatever it was on those particular trips, and or at those particular stops. But we stopped at the Badlands, and we stopped at a place called Devil's Tower, which was, where they had the, what is it, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I think that's where they filmed it. But the moonrise and all that, as we hiked up to the base of Devil's Tower that night, is one of the spectacular scenes of my life. We went to Little Bighorn, where General Custer and his men were wiped out. I was writing and reading. I was keeping a journal. I still have it. I love to go back and look at it sometimes, because even then, when I was whatever, 19, 20, I was writing about beauty and truth and goodness, and I was reading Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, and I tried to read on the road. I was listening to the professor from Maryville talk about Black Elk and Black Elk Speaks, and just really that idealism. I saw a quote from Seneca that says, "Hang on to your youthful enthusiasms. You'll be able to use them better when you're older." I posted that on Instagram the other day, and I thought that could definitely be taken for like in a sexual kind of way, which, yeah, hey. But the what I meant by it was this type of idealism, this type of, man, I can change the world. I can make things better. I can make myself better. And I love the quote from Seneca, because if you hold on to those enthusiasms, you'll be better able to use them when you're older. And now I see things differently. I've seen things, Anyway, we went to the Corn Palace. How could I forget? We went to the Corn Palace in South Dakota, I believe, and Wall Drug, of course. But where we ended up was at Yellowstone Park, and we got to explore a little bit, but we were there to work. And what our task was at Yellowstone was to pave the asphalt walkway that leads to the mud pits, which are sulfurous, so we had that smell. But I mean, we worked our tails off, because again, we're 20 or 19 and we're just idealistic, and we got that junk done, and we got it done well. So much so that it was a 5-day task, and we finished it half the time. And so they took us on a like a 30-minute boat ride on Yellowstone Lake to this remote island where they keep their horses. I don't know what that even means, but we were there to build a horse corral. And I remember when we put the tents up on that island, we were coating ourselves in 100% DEET, because the mosquitoes were enormous and hungry. And which I realized what that stuff did to my skin, because we sprayed some on our tent just to try to keep them from coming in the doors, and it actually ate through the fabric of the tent, which was no good. But man, out there we the rangers made us elk tacos, and we ate lake trout, and just unbelievable, just so good. And we went out onto the dock, and as we were out on the dock, me and my friend Amy with an E, and Dustin, who had long hair like Sam's, as I'm picturing him in my mind, it's Sam. Dustin was in so many ways. That guy, and what was his name? Scott, I believe his name was Scott. And Chris, we were all out there on the dock at night. Just, it's the thing about I wish that we didn't have so much light pollution. I wish we could really experience the stars like we were able to experience on that night. And not only that, but we got to witness Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights. And it was magical. We went on to the Tetons from there, and there we were tasked with building picnic tables, which we were kind of bummed out about and even a little bit miffed, because hey guys, you got this workforce here, you just want us to build picnic tables and then staining them, but we did. And that's where we hiked up to Lake Solitude as well. That's the infamous hike where I was trying to, was I don't know if I was trying to impress somebody, probably, but we hiked around, and I stepped in a snowdrift and gashed my shin, and so I'm bleeding out. And had to pack it in snow and then hike all the way back down. And it's like an 8-mile hike up and back. I mean, it's like 16 miles round trip, I think. I might be making that up, but I looked it up the other day. It was a real deal. But the colors of the wildflowers halfway up, or however far up to Lake Solitude, is something that still sticks out in my mind. The next time I got to go out west was on our honeymoon. We got married in June of 2001, and then a couple of days after that, we flew out to San Francisco. We ate at Harris's Steakhouse, which is still the best tasting meat beef I've ever had in my life. Creme brulee for dessert. I mean, just overly stuffed. Like wow, it was really something. But then we drove up about an hour north of San Francisco. I might be mixed up here. I have that we went. I can't remember. Did we go to the Oakland game? Did we go to the baseball game then or later? I'm going to say that it was later, and then Sarah can correct me if she remembers. But we drove up an hour to a place called Point Reyes, and it is billed as the windiest point on the West Coast. And we ate at this cool restaurant, and we walked out to the point, and where there's an awesome lighthouse, and you really can lean against the wind, and it will buffet you, it will hold you up. But just ocean on all sides. Oh man, just amazing, and just phenomenal views. Love it so much out west. That's why I'm telling all these stories. That's because I really do have a love affair with that area of our country. We took refuge in our yurt for a couple of days, and we drove around some. We drove to see the redwoods, and wow. It's part of my tattoo. It's part of who I am to see the majesty of those types of trees, and then to consider, is it worth planting a seed of a tree that you're never going to see it really come to fruition? But yes, I'm babbling. We went back out before, right when we found out that we were pregnant with Sam, or I wasn't, but and we took off before we even told anybody, and we drove around the country. And we took off from Statesville and drove through Iowa and the cornfields of Iowa and the mosquitoes of Iowa and Indiana, and we weren't overly impressed with either of those places. But then we got into the Badlands, saw the sunsets there. We had our cooking gear and our tents and all that kind of stuff, because I'm a camper. I'm a camper, And but I think we abandoned the cooking gear in the Badlands. There were grub worms or something that got into some of that stuff, and or also maybe it was just like, yeah, we're gonna go to the cafe around the way and not worry about trying to cook up some beans or whatever it was we had going on. We went to Rushmore. I remember going to Mount Rushmore, and I know we took the pictures where we were the fifth head and all that kind of stuff. And I can't remember exactly the order of which things we hit while we were on the way. I could look back because I still have the folder full of MapQuest maps that I had printed out and organized and arranged ahead of time so that I knew exactly where we were going and when we would get there. And I had the whole thing plotted out because I'm a planner. I do. I'm a planner. I know that when we got to Yellowstone, we were able to get our car fixed in West Yellowstone because it was overheating. And it was my sister's car. She let us drive it around. But you know what? Speaking of that, I left one out. So let's back up a second and let me add one in right quick. And this would go before the honeymoon. I was able to go out to Red Rocks to see widespread panic, because my sister, we won $1,000 on Whistle 100 radio, because we were the how many ever caller, probably 100th caller, on her birthday, or whenever they called out her birthday. And she gave me, since I'm the one that was consistently calling and won the money, she gave me a little over half of it, and I was able to buy plane tickets and fly out to see widespread panic at Red Rocks. Wow, how could I forget that? So anyway, then we did the honeymoon, and now we're driving around the country. And my sister did let us drive the car, and we got it fixed there. We went to see the geysers and all the amazing things that are in Yellowstone. But then the thing that sticks out is we wanted to see a moose, But to see the moose, we were in West Yellowstone, and the moose is typically in East Yellowstone, and that's at dusk. And so we drove through the park to get to northeast Yellowstone at dusk. We did it. We saw the moose, and that was awesome. Except for the problem was, is now we've got to drive back through the park at night. And that junk was wild because the smoke from the geysers and the pits is out there, and the eyes of all the different packs of animals that are around, bison and wolves, and I don't know about wolves, but bison and elk and all that kind of stuff. And like, dude, if you run into one of those things, you're just going to be stuck in the park for a while. Because most rational people aren't driving back through the park. So we went about 5 or 10 miles an hour all the way back through the park. It took a long time, but we did see the moose. We skipped the Tetons on that trip because that was one of the few days that we had pregnant, sick type feelings, or maybe it was the meatball sub. We went into Glacier National Park and we stayed at a campground KOA at Polson, where we played mini golf and also saw the Northern Lights after we woke up in the middle of the night to go pee. We went on the Going to the Sun Road in Glacier, which is just, I mean, just do it. Just do it at some point in your life. Had some moose drool. We abandoned tent life along the way somewhere in Montana because there was just this magnificent storm. And, you know, I mean, I was, you know, I'm just trying to protect my pregnant wife here, of course. You know, like I would have been a tent camper the whole way. I'm a roughing it kind of guy. So, we drove through Idaho, which was beautiful, and into eastern Washington, which wasn't. We then went down the Oregon coast, which is one of the top few places that if I was going to move somewhere, I would want to go there. You know, I mean, just absolutely beautiful, and super chill. Down into California, saw the redwoods again, and drove through that tree that you can drive through, and back to the Point Reyes and the steakhouse again. And this is where I think we went to see the baseball game with Barry Bonds. It was the Giants at Oakland. We drove from there over to the Grand Canyon. And then I was like, okay, whatever, you know. I should go back there one day and see how awesome it is, but I didn't. And then we just kind of drove home from there and really back in 2 days from the Grand Canyon through a massive rainstorm, like all the way from the canyon to into Arkansas. And that was wild. That was some tenseness, tension. And then back home, we went back again for our 10th anniversary. We flew out to LA and we shacked up at a Malibu resort for a couple of days and pretended like we really had it like that and talked about our $3 million real estate deals and just had a good time pretending. We saw widespread panic at the Wiltern. We were going to go for 2 nights, but then we took this boat ride out to sea, whatever, man. I don't know. It was definitely a letdown. I think we saw some dolphins jumping or something, but whatever rock was supposed to be awesome out there, it wasn't. But also, I was about to uke my guts off the back of the boat because I got super seasick. And that combined with the intense anxiety I had back in, what was that, 2011. We decided to drive back. We traded in our plane ticket for a rental car and drove for 36 hours. And I recognize how stupid that is and how much safer it would have been to fly. But we drove from 36 hours because we drove all night from LA. And then by the time the sun rose and we were on our way, we're just like, well, dang, we can't get to a hotel until, you know, at least after lunch. And so we called the rental car people and they said if you get back a couple days early, then you'll save the hundreds of dollars or whatever. So then it became the amazing race for us, and we would stop real fast for gas and get food like Arby's or just something nasty. And then we would just roll on, and we drove, kept on driving, and we drove and we were riding into Nashville, and it started, we hit traffic in Nashville because we had to get back by midnight or whatever, you know, to get the refund. And it slowed us down in Nashville, and then we got slowed down again in Knoxville with a rainstorm. And then, you know, 30 something hours in, we're going through the North Carolina mountains on I-40, and the way the kudzu was covering the tree, I thought I saw a gopher. And like But really, I thought it was a giant gopher. And that's when Sarah was like, yeah, I'm gonna need you to get out and let me drive. We drove all the way back and then had to pass through Shelby and go back to the airport because, of course, we had flown from there and that's where our car van was. But we drove from LA to Charlotte in 36 hours and we didn't stop other than for gas. And that would, if I was gonna live to be 75, then I'm probably only gonna make it to be 72. Now, we went back. I've talked about it, and just a few more. I'm wrapping up. We're gonna go along for a story about nothing here. We went out to the Red Rocks again to see the Avett brothers. Sarah had a conference out there, and so we got a free hotel. And I flew out at this point separate, and that's still kind of what we do. I'm over a whole lot of my anxiety, but I still have my own irrational fears and arbitrary stands, and so I don't tend to want to fly on the same airplane as her, so that if one of us goes down, it's morbid and stuff like that. But yeah, we went out to Red Rocks to see the Avett brothers, which is super healing, and my feet were sweating way too much, at least in my view, after hanging out at some of the places that you could hang out in Denver. But we went to some cool Denver towns. I was trying to remember the name of that thing, but now I can't. But yeah, just really awesome to be out there and to be at Red Rocks and to see the man. I just love it, and so I do. I want to go back, and our plan is to do that next summer, to go back for the Avets in 2025 for Sydney's 18th birthday trip. Sam and I went to New York to see Fish and the Mets and Phantom, and we're hoping to travel out west next summer to see the Avets. And then you know what? AP government reading is in Salt Lake City. And I've never been to Utah. And I've never been to Nevada. And New Mexico, the arches and all that kind of stuff out there. Bryce and all that. I do want to see it again someday. But man, Montana, that sky, just the blue of Colorado and the white cap mountains, man. I do love it out there and hope to make it back very soon. Well, if you made it this far, thanks for listening. This is, of course, a Church of Six production, which I do want you to understand that the Church of Six is not about being exclusive. And so if that's what you've got in your mind, then you've got it wrong. There are five of us in my family, and so the six isn't just one more, even though David is the original member of the six. The six is you. And so I hope you realize that. I hope you recognize that. There's been some misconception. Brought to you by the Bucket of Life, the Rope of Relationship, the foundation tower of stone and the wall of belief, the token of hope and the magic rock times one received and one given. Nothing divine is desperate, and in order to be, try to never seem. May all your circumstances serve to awaken compassion and as you go, teach peace. Don't forget to believe, y'all, and be live. Grace and peace, my friends.